Facing accusations of sexual harassment by former staffers, 88-year-old Michigan Democrat John Conyers went on a Detroit radio show today from the hospital where he's convalescing to announce he's leaving Congress.
I am retiring today, and I want everyone to know how much I appreciate the support, the incredible, undiminished support I've received across the years from my supporters, not only in my district, but across the country as well.
Conyers, the longest-serving member of the House, denies the accusations against him, as does Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore, who returns to campaigning with the backing of the Republican National Committee, which has reinstated its support for him despite the sexual misconduct accusations against him. Jessica Taylor, NPR politics reporter, is here with an update on some of the stories we've been following. And Jessica, Conyers sounded shaky, and it wasn't clear if he meant resign immediately or retire at the end of the term? What do we know? What happens with his seat?
Yeah, this was a bit confusing because he did keep saying retire, but we have confirmed that he does mean that he is resigning immediately, and that would trigger the governor to appoint a special election for his seat. And this could get, you know, kind of messy as well. There's a lot of Detroit politics going on there. He has said that he said in that interview that he wants his son, John Conyers III, to succeed him. His grandnephew has also said he's interested in running for the seat. So this is going to be, I think, a very messy Democratic primary. And, you know, just the fact of how long this went on. Like you said, he was the longest serving member of the House, and we'd seen Democratic lawmakers want to stand behind him. You know, just a week ago, Nancy Pelosi was saying, you know, how he was, you know, this an icon and everything too. But as more and more of these stories came out, it's clear that his health is failing as well. I think that probably played a part in it as well. But that the pressure, I think, was eventually too much for him.
Right. Well, to Roy Moore, yesterday the RNC resumed its support for him after President Trump endorsed him. Republicans are divided, though. Former presidential candidate Mitt Romney said a Moore victory next week and that a special election would be a stain on the GOP and on the nation. So how much will this RNC support impact the election? And is it even about the election, or maybe positioning the party for what happens after the election?
I think what it is it's a clear signal that this is President Trump's Republican Party now. And this came after President Trump tweeted out his really unequivocal support for Moore. He'd sort of given him cover in recent days, sort of hedging a little bit, saying, you know, well, he says these aren't true and we really don't want to elect a liberal, a Democrat, Doug Jones, his opponent in there too. But he came out Monday, said very forcefully, I am endorsing him, called him, and is now fully behind him. And I think this is because I think the president sees a lot of himself in Roy Moore, because if you remember back during the campaign, he had multiple women that came out accusing him of sexual assault. He has had to he has denied those allegations and everything, too. But he sees someone, I think, as being unfairly accused. But this is obviously an issue that is very much dividing the Republican Party. And it's a very risky step for them to take. But I do think that, again, this is a close race, even with these allegations, because Alabama is so red. Mm. And this certainly has the potential to sort of divide the Republican Party even further than we saw it divided in the 2016 campaign and beyond.
I want to make sure we get to news today from the Palestinian press, which is reporting that President Trump today called Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas and told him he intends to move the U.S. embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem. And in a speech tomorrow, Trump may declare Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Of course, Palestinians are outraged. They had hoped East Jerusalem would someday be, you know, the capital of their separate country. Turkey, the EU have all warned the U.S. against this, especially when the president is trying to negotiate a Middle East peace deal. Your thoughts on this?
I mean, this is something that President Trump talked a lot about during the campaign, that he really wanted to do was to name Jerusalem the capital. And so this is a campaign promise that he has said that he would keep. I think this is something that is important to a lot of his, you know, evangelical supporters, too, and Jewish supporters. So I think it's something that certainly it sort of adds a little bit of uncertainty to sort of an already tenuous, you know, obviously peace there at a time when there's obviously a lot going on elsewhere in the world with a lot of instability. So it comes at a very interesting time for sure, but this is something that he's talked about for during the campaign as well.
We're also learning that congressional leaders and President Trump aren't going to sit down to negotiate a way out of the government shutdown. We're facing that deadline until Thursday, and this is the day before the government funding expires. And Republican leaders are saying no way to Democrats and at least one Republican we've spoken with who insist that any deal on the budget and funding the government also include, you know, resolving the Dreamers. These are the young people brought illegally as children, resolving their future. Is that possible? Because Republicans need Democratic votes to pass a short-term spending plan.
It's certainly an impasse that we're not really sure what is going to happen, because you're right. And you have some more moderate Republicans that really want this addressed as well. And, you know, President Trump has sort of given conflicting answers to whether he wants this addressed to, you know, when he said that he was going to pull back what President Obama did. He did sort of sound, I think, regretful about some of this. So it's an impasse. And of course, it's coming up against the holidays, you know, and the more sort of conservative Freedom Caucus. They want to push the deadline because they are worried that if it's this December 22nd deadline with people wanting to go home for the holidays, that they are more likely to bend to Democrats and to maybe more moderate members of trying to put these things in there, too. So we always sort of seem to come down to this right around the holidays.
Yeah. This is not new. We will probably kick it down the road. Jessica Taylor, politics reporter for NPR, with, thank you, a wrap-up of some of the things we're keeping an eye on. Thanks, Jessica.
Thank you, Robin.